he's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, my friends. I've got an echo in my ears, boys. This is Mark Levin. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. The president's holding one of his Soviet-style seminars on an issue that he's already advancing. But he wants to hear from everybody, of course. That little printer in my background, I'll explain in a minute. In any event, he's having a seminar or a gabfest or a frat party surrounding the issue of national health care. Now, keep in mind, they've already passed funding and created an infrastructure for the sort of the Politburo for national health care. They're already proposing putting aside almost $700 billion for national health care, which is about half of what it'll cost over 10 years. So he already has his plan. He's already pushing it, but he wants to pretend that he's actually seeking input, and he's not the left-wing ideologue that we all know he is. But our media does not report on the nature of the socialist healthcare systems that already exist and have existed for decades in places like Great Britain and Canada. There's an enormous amount of information available just in the public record from think tanks and foreign media. A little bit of our media, but really not much. On the disaster of government-run healthcare. I want to give you some examples, and we're going to take our time on this, just so you can understand how thoroughly discredited and systemic these problems are in these systems. And we will link to the website from which I got this information, which lists to article after article, white paper after white paper, the overwhelming majority of which is produced by the media in the countries in which they're suffering under these systems, and some think tanks. It's important you become informed about this, because this will, in fact, affect your life directly. Liberty Page website, we will link to it on marklevinshow.com. I encourage you to go there. It's free. And read some of these articles. I will read some of the titles of them, and it goes on and on and on, so you can see that when the government runs something, it's not nirvana. Sure, they'll promise it'll be free and cost-efficient, everything will work beautifully, and it never does. It's the opposite. Britain, only five, and I'm going to start with the newest articles and work our way back. Only 5 out of 51 hospital trusts pass hygiene tests, say inspectors. This is all British right now. Heart patients dying due to poor hospital care, says report. NHS, National Health Service dentistry losses, almost 1 million patients after new dentist contracts. They have to ration, they have to cut back. Private health care managers could be sent to turn failing NHS hospitals. As you'll see throughout these articles, The little free market aspect of this is what they're counting on to help them get through this. But it's not enough, because they take up most of the field now. Cancer patients betrayed by NHS, the Times of London. NHS scandal, dying cancer victim was forced to pay, Times of London. Pensioner, 76, forced to pull out his own teeth after 12 NHS dentists refused to treat her. See, they reached their quota. These dentists in Britain are overwhelmed. They don't want to take any more. The guy pulled out his own teeth. Dental patients face care through lottery. Lung patients condemned to death as NHS withdraws their too expensive drugs. Women in labor turned away by maternity units. Health inequality has gotten worse under labor, says a government report. Angry GPs, general practitioners, reluctantly accept plan for weekend and evening surgeries, NHF chiefs tell grandmother, 61, she's too old for 5,000-pound life-saving heart surgery. Patient removed from waiting list to meet targets. 1 in 8 patients waiting over a year for treatment, admits minister. Audit office asked to investigate record 500 million pound NHS underspend. The drugs the NHS won't give you, and they list them, the Telegraph. United Kingdom lagging behind on cancer drug access, study finds. 1 in 6 trusts is still putting patients on mixed sex wards, specialist stroke care lottery. They have lotteries. Who gets to live and who gets to die? Remember Gephardt? Well, here's the real lottery of life when the government controls you. Smokers and the obese banned from UK hospitals. And the obese, I should say. Cancer patients told life-prolonging treatment is too expensive for NHS. UK Health Service harms 10% of patients, reports Reuters. 5,000 elderly killed each year by lack of care beds, reports the Telegraph. Dental socialism in Britain, disaster. Pay for nurses and surgeons at its lowest. NHS chiefs get luxury car deals. I tell you, the government is a disaster, wherever it is. Secret NHS plan to ration patient care. British health care to be rationed, the Times and UPI. British body rejects EPO drugs for cancer patients. See, folks, some of the most expensive drugs deal with heart problems, deal with cancer, deal with AIDS. Some of the most expensive patients, quote unquote, involve the elderly and the very young. So this is where the rationing has to occur if you're going to really save money. National Health Service grappling with deficits. Hundreds wait to register as another dentist quits the NHS. You know, I joke about the Brits and their yellow teeth. There's a reason their teeth are crooked and yellow. They don't have enough dentists. Life-saving cancer drugs kept from NHS patients by red tape. NHS slides into the red despite record increases in healthcare spending. Yes, I'm going through this list. This is just a selected list of articles. Alzheimer's sufferers hit by further delay in NHS approval for vital drugs. We all pay a price for our free NHS, quote unquote, the Scotsman. UK health unsustainable. NHS faces rising bill for negligent claims. British boy to go to India for operation. Top crime writer funds drugs for cancer victim refused by NHS, the Telegraph. Report says NHS is mired in huge debts. NHS fund bias against men may cost 2,500 lives a year. Doubts on funding NHS monuments. 17 million reasons why we must improve hospital meals. Figures show more patients waiting for operations. Scarcity of NHS dental treatment is revealed. God forbid our teeth. Why, the NHS opposes treatment by demand for dying. Just because you're dying, you don't get to demand treatment. Hundreds more heroin addicts to be given a fix on the NHS. Oh, but if you're a druggie, we'll take care of you. British Health Service facing nurse exodus. NHS debts soar. British taxpayers foot $26.5 million bill for abortion tourists. Number of NHS bureaucrats rising faster than the health staff. These are all articles. 1,000 Scots desert the NHS every week. British NHS facing financial crisis. NHS drug regulator to withdraw approval of Alzheimer's treatment. This is year after year after year after year. NHS waiting list rises. Tumor patients hit by NHS shortages. NHS financial crises set to outlast the winter. NHS 24 priority callers, that is, people who are supposed to get an immediate response when they make their calls, wait 4 hours for advice. No strategy on NHS waiting time. Output figures show NHS decline. Heart patients die on waiting lists. These are the headlines. Smokers should not get NHS care, BBC. Patients are denied the last rights under data protection law, the Telegraph. Shortage of dentists to double by 2011. Britain's stiff upper lip gives way to a snarl. They're about had it. And they're looking at us over here like we're nuts to adopt their system. Hospital overcrowding, a cause of superbug infections. Study finds British hospitals are still austere, cold, smelly, and poorly maintained. Hospital bathrooms and showers, a continuing saga of inadequacy. Creeping privatization they're talking about over there. Anyway, it goes on and on, and we will link to this on marklevinshow.com. None of this will be discussed at the propaganda seminar and Blabfest that Obama is running. It will not be discussed in Congress before they impose this on us. Let's look to our neighbors to the north, shall we? I think we call it Canada. Surgery postponed indefinitely for 1,000 Kilowan patients. Majority of Q, dentists quit healthcare system. Hell of a dental problem in this socialist healthcare system. You better get used to smelly, rotting, yellow teeth. Why Ontario keeps sending patients south? Will socialists, get this one, will socialized healthcare in the U.S. kill Canadians? They're sending them down here. And if we socialize ours, there's no escape. Wait times for surgery medical treatments at an all-time high, CBC News. The ugly truth about Canadian health care. Cancer patients question why PET scan not covered. British of Columbia Medical Association, waiting too long for hip and knee surgery costs $10,000 per patient. Wait time should be no longer than 6 months. Ontario physician turns away patients older than 55. And then listen to the reverse of this. Doctor defends private cancer clinic. Oh, my God, he had a private clinic? We've got to snuff him out. It's almost like school choice in America. Dogma trumps truth in healthcare crisis, the Ontario Business News. Why Canadians purchase private healthcare outside the Canadian system. Get this one. Canadian press. Patients shouldn't wait more than 8 weeks for cardiac defibrillator, say experts. Yeah, I should think not, because they may not be around in 6 weeks. Graduates fail to slow doctor shortage. Did you know they have a doctor shortage in Canada? Gee, I wonder why. Free Canadian health care comes at a cost. Access to specialists, difficult, study says. Doctor shortages, frustrations vary from region to region. Canada falling short on medical imaging. Creative incentives required to retain older doctors. MRI gap defies cash fix. Surgery backlog tops 5,500 at Kids Hospital. 1 year waits are common. Hospital wait lists get worse. Frustrated patients can't handle ER waits. Every one of these I'm reading is a separate article or study. Canadians have higher death risks than Americans after heart attack. Study. Canada.com. Canadian medical tourists in India. People leave Canada to go to India to get their treatments because they can get them faster. Doctor shortage cripples Canada's free health care. Canada's once proud public health system in crisis. Hospitals to cut again. Canada's medical nightmare. Canada faces shortage of doctors. Canadians losing faith in the healthcare system. Ontario hospitals at health risk. Need surgery? Here's how long you'll have to wait. Quote, it's inhuman. The quality of my life is horrible. Doctors, nurses, fed up. The truth about Canada's ailing healthcare system. Healthcare crisis looms, even with new money. Emergency room delays, a strong campaign factor. Canada healthcare in crisis. Quebec cancer patients sue over wait. Healthcare, waiting lists. For some, surgery abroad a welcome answer. Canadian doctors eyeing the United States. Can Canadians' health at risk, CMA says. Burnout is now doctor's ailment. On, and on. Welcome to Marxism. It's a disaster. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, I want you to hear some of the usual flowery, open-ended promises Barack Obama's making. His view of the world, what he's going to say about this, what he has said about this at the propaganda summit for socialist healthcare today. And may I just be honest with you? He's so full of crap. He's going to do to healthcare what he's done to the stock market. We'll be right back.
If you're trying to reach Mark on the air, call him at 877-381-3811. The Mark Levin Radio Show continues.
Act like an adult. Act like a man. Debate the issues.
These left-wing Democrats are the lowest of the low. Real lowlifes. This is what the left does. They divide us on income, on age, on religion, on race, on sex, anything they can find. It's our job, regardless of who you are, to break up this party and destroy it. The more I think about it, the more disgusted I become. We're the cleanup hitter here. Whatever we say today will be repeated tomorrow.
This audience is the most intelligent, best educated of any audience.
From his underground bunker, in an undisclosed location, the Great One.
So now we have decades of miserable experience with national health care as a global community, as global citizens. And I haven't even gotten to the pharmaceutical side yet. Who invents the drugs and who has access to them? We invent most of them. And most of you have access to them. And if you're in a serious poverty situation, you get them anyway. I don't mean if you don't think you can afford them, if you actually can't. These pharmaceutical companies have all this human care activity going on to the tunes of billions of dollars. And I can prove that, as a matter of fact, but I don't need to right now. But you pay in and pay in and you pay into this system, and if you can't get the operation you need or the drugs you need or the procedure you need, if you can't get the medical equipment you need, the quality of life to extend life. Sure, you can go outside the system if you have any money, but you can't come back in. In most cases, for a very long time, if ever. You're done. They'd rather you not come in. They already milked you for everything you're worth. Now you're an expense. This is what happens when you politicize the market. You have rationing based on politics, not market forces based on supply and demand and pricing. So it's easy. It's easy to attack our system, but it's amazing how many people it treats, including illegal aliens. I don't know of Americans who are flocking to the British and Canadian healthcare systems for treatment. Oh, I'm sure there's a few, but most do not. More Brits and Canadians are coming into our country to get treatment, I guarantee it, and that's a fact. With all this, it still does not slow down Barack Obama, because Barack Obama is not slowed down by information. It doesn't matter. The stock market goes to hell, doesn't slow him down. The budget's going to hell, doesn't slow him down. He's a man on a mission, as so many demagogues are. And speaking of demagogues, I want you to listen to what he said today. Cut two. Go.
Because health care reform is no longer just a moral imperative, it's a fiscal imperative. If we want to create jobs and rebuild our economy and get our federal budget under control, then we have to address the crushing costs of health care this year in this administration. Making investments in reform now, investments that will dramatically lower costs, won't add to our budget deficits in the long term. Rather, it is one of the best ways, in fact, maybe the only way, to reduce those long-term costs.
You see, really, the only way a demagogue Marxist can get his agenda passed is to lie through his teeth about it. These are not investments. They are taxes. He talks about the crushing cost of health care. The crushing cost of health care is due to government's involvement in health care, which is about a third of all health care services. Medicare, Medicaid, the VA, the SCHIP program, they create a price structure and a supply structure that affects the rest. If, for instance, if the government, in buying or allowing the purchase of certain drugs for its programs, decides it's not going to buy a particular drug, then it's less likely that that drug will survive, period. If the government is not willing to pay doctors for their services and instead cuts it 20, 25, a third, that affects how many doctors are going to come into the market and what kind of practice they're going to have. If the government's going to compel hospitals to treat foreigners who come into this country, in many cases with very severe problems, you've read about them, or no problems at all, a cut, a splint, what have you, then those costs are passed on in the private sector to everybody. He says it will reduce the budget expense. How is that even conceivable? He's proposing almost $700 billion as a quote-unquote down payment on this program. And it's a lie. It's going to be trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. Now, apart from the inefficiencies of government and yet again a government takeover, it's the politics of it. You are turning over to politicians and bureaucrats your decisions about your health care and your doctors. Look, I know there's a few million people in this country, and it is a few million, who don't have access to regularized health care. They can get emergency services. They can go to clinics and that sort of thing. Some idiot left-wing group just put out a report that 87 million Americans last year were without health care. Do you know what an outright lie that is? What a complete fraud? Absolute fraud. They have to lie and lie repeatedly, and the media, of course, repeat it all. They are talking down the greatest health care system on the face of the earth the same way they talk down the oil companies, the insurance companies, the financial system, the same way they're destroying the stock market and your pension plans. May I tell you something? The government has already, through the back door, nationalized your pension plans. It's already nationalized your pension plans. They said they wanted to do away with the 401k and the 403b, and they're doing away with it. Having done what they've done, then they tell you that the stock market sucks. We can't privatize anything. The government has to guarantee. The government has to create. Now, the government sabotages the stock market, sabotages the free market, sabotages the banks, the financial sector, sabotages the automobile companies with all their rules and so forth, and then claims that they're the only ones who can step in and save it. And more than that, the liberals are only the only ones that have ideas and policies and plans. And we conservatives have to come up with policies to manage what the liberals have created. Not to destroy what the liberals have created and reintroduce capitalism and liberty. No! We have to embrace what the liberals have created and putz around with policy ideas based on their agenda, not ours. Don't get me started. I am sick and tired of this Barack Obama and his lies. It's not lies about little things. They're lies about big things. They are big lies. And they're told over and over again. And they play with the language. They have a speechwriter, some kind of a Goebbels, who sits there, let's call it investments. Now, we know this will create a crushing federal deficit, but let's blame the crushing deficit on the private sector. Let's claim there'll be free health care when we're breaking the bank. Damn these people. Cut one, go.
Medicare costs are consuming our federal budget. I don't have to tell members of Congress this. Medicaid is overwhelming our state budgets. I don't need to tell governors and state legislatures that. At the fiscal summit that we held here last week, the one thing on which everyone agreed was that the greatest threat to America's fiscal health is not Social Security, though that's a significant challenge. It's not the investments that we've made to rescue our economy during this crisis. By a wide margin, the biggest threat to our nation's balance sheet is the skyrocketing cost of health care. It's not even close. That's why we cannot delay this discussion any longer.
Cannot delay ever, can we? What would we do without Obama? Prodding us along to stop delaying, to stop thinking, to stop analyzing, to stop debating. We're out of time. We're out of time when it comes to the environment. We're out of time when it comes to medical services. We're out of time when it comes to the financial system in this country. We're always out of time. We gotta get with it. We lazy, gluttonous Americans. May I ask you a question? You people who think you're in the middle class, and I don't know how to define the middle class, but let's just, for stipulation purposes, you're the middle class, most of you. Middle, upper class, whatever. How do you benefit from socialist health care? You don't, and you know you don't. 85% of the American people like their health care. That doesn't mean you're not happy on occasion or waiting in line or doing some paperwork. So what? It's a complicated system. But 85% of you, according to a very big study, said, hey, look, I'm pretty happy with this system. But they're still going to destroy it. Why? I will tell you why. Because there are a lot of people who don't do what you do every day and get off your ass and work and break your back and save and contribute to this society. You're the people who make this system work. And they want to take that money from you as they do in every other area and give it to the people who do not. That's what they want to do. When Obama and Pelosi and Reid and all the rest of them look at you, they don't look at you as a human being. They don't look at you as an individual. They look at you as a gluttonous capitalist who needs to be punished. Well, Mark, Pelosi's worth a lot of money. Doesn't matter. Some of the worst leftist revolutionaries, guerrillas fighting in the jungles and so forth, come from middle, upper class families. Castro wasn't a peasant. He was an upper class lawyer. Hugo Chavez was in the army. And I can go down the list. Lenin wasn't a peasant. There have been peasants, but there have been more non-peasants than peasants. And so here we are. A huge decision for the future of this country. literally for the health of your family. And once again, we're in a hurry. Ladies and gentlemen, I say we slow down. I say we debate. I say we use the English language and stop using these Goebbels-like propaganda points. Whoever these speechwriters and propagandists are, let's call it investments. Let's call it reform. It's not investment. It's not reform. It's Marxism. And it doesn't work. Now, I read you a long list of problems with these systems. It's much worse than that. I barely scratched the surface. Why doesn't 60 Minutes do a story on the British healthcare system or the Canadian healthcare system? And if they did one 30 years ago, do one now! Why doesn't 2020 do it? Why doesn't 48 Hours do it? Because they don't want to do it. They're investigative report. This guy's going to destroy 14% of our economy. I said before, he's going through our society like Sherman through Atlanta, burning it down, figuratively, one industry at a time, one tradition at a time, one value at a time. And he's doing it at a very fast pace, the fastest pace in American history. This guy's making FDR look like a robber baron, a capitalist robber baron. And here's the kicker. Obama's very good at scheming. He's very clever at speaking, but he's a very dumb guy. That's correct. He's a very dumb guy. He's an ideologue. Well, the stock market goes up and down. Oh, really? Well, we want it to go more up than down. What's wrong with that? We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Well, I was very long in that segment. Actually, Obama was very long in that segment. He always goes on and on and on. All talk, this guy. No good action. But at about now, even those drones out there should be scratching their heads. I don't mean as usual. But scratching their heads wondering, gee, the guy keeps spending. He keeps telling us he's going to fix these things. He takes responsibility for nothing. Shouldn't we see how some of this stuff shakes out before we turn another entire aspect of our society over to him and the jerks and the pukes that surround him? We'll be right back.
Call him names, Moses.
In this effort, every voice has to be heard. Every idea must be considered. Every option must be on the table. There should be no sacred cows. Each of us must accept that none of us will get everything that
we want.
Yeah,
that's enough. That's enough. Be quiet. I can't take what you say anymore. You don't even know what the hell you're saying. You don't know what the hell you're doing in terms of substance. I know you do in terms of ideology. Anybody off the street can read your teleprompters. I have had it with this guy. Every option on the table. The hell's he talking about? Every option except liberty, competition, private property. None of that's ever on the table. That's stolen right out from under your face. If any of you leftists, you drones, you Obama supporters can call here and show me where an advanced industrial society. Don't give me one of these Scandinavian little nothings. I said an advanced industrial society. As a socialist healthcare system. And it works better than our system. Then I want to hear from you. Not really, but Haven't you drones figured out yet? I'm the cat and you're the ball of yarn. Haven't you figured that out yet? Well, of course you haven't. You're drones. David, Pomona, New York, WABC, a Democrat. Go.
How are you, Mark?
Yes.
How are you? First of all, I really wanted to thank you for Valentine's Day. My wife really appreciated the flowers you sent.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I thought there for a second you were asking me out.
Not yet. A few all years, right. Maybe.
Yes.
I wanted to make 2 points. I'm from Israel, where they have socialized medicine, and literally you can die waiting for surgery. I mean, I was diagnosed with a hernia, and it was pretty bad, and they kind of put me on a waiting list for 4 months.
And outrageous.
Oh, it's horrible.
And you better get to your second point. You have 10 seconds.
My second point: people who say they can't afford medical insurance, they're lying. They all have big screen TVs and 2 cars, and they say, "Oh, I can't afford medical insurance."
You now, know? See that? That's David, a Democrat, an immigrant. And let me tell you something. I believe 99% of the time, he's exactly right. Exactly right! We'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, my friends. This is Hour 2. I'm Mark Levin, our number, 87... Well, listen, I know this is frustrating. I know it. I know every day it's not me, it's him. If you're fed up, blame Obama and the Democrats, not me. I mean, this is your healthcare system. We do need to talk about it. You own it, damn it, not them! 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. Now, Barney's Frank, he's the slobbering buffoon, the bozo the clown that chairs the banking committee, and is a central player in the collapse of the financial markets in this country, a central player, a cover-up artist, who is a certified unethical member of Congress back in the 70s for running a prostitution ring out of his townhouse. And yet he's still a reliable and respected spokesman for you Democrats. Imagine that. Well, Barney's Frank is pushing for punishment. This from the Politico. Most of these reporters at the Politico are really old Washington Compost reporters. Not all of them, of course, but enough of them to matter. House Financial Services Chairman Barney's Frank is pressing state and federal authorities to seek criminal and civil penalties on financial actors that help cause the current crisis. Quote, rules don't work if people have no fear of them, he said. He announced a hearing March 20 with Attorney General Eric, you know, what a bunch of clowns. Eric Holder. Oh, for God's sake. The guy that gave the FALN terrorists help get them cleared. And Mark Rich. Now we're going to turn to him to find out what happened and to punish people. He isn't looking for names, Barney's Frank said, but I do want all the people with enforcement power, state and federal, in that room. That's right. Barney's Frank is going to hold a hearing. He wants to get to the bottom of this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when they have the law enforcement officials in that room, state and federal, they should read Barney's Frank, his rights, and drag him out of the room. I think frog march is the phrase you liberals like to use. Frog march him out of that room and do the nation a favor. Everything's upside down here. One of the key perpetrators, Barney's Frank, is now demanding that law enforcement find the key perpetrators. And we're all supposed to just look at this, bob our heads up and down. Yes, Barney's Frank. Yes, yes, you're so good. I really won't be happy until that guy's in front of a grand jury, charged and sent away, with a trial in between. We talked about this a little the other day, but get ready. Also from the Politico, Congress will pass, will need to pass, another multi-billion-dollar stimulus package later this year to jumpstart the rapidly sinking economy, said Mark Zandi, the favorite economist of lawmakers trying to figure out the correct policy response to the current recession. Who the hell is Mark Zandi? And why do we care? It's going to be much more complicated, he said. I'm not sure it will actually get done, but there will be a debate. No, no, Zandi, you don't get it. There's never a debate. We're in a hurry. We have to do these things fast. Never look back. Just keep moving forward. Don't learn from experience. Just flail around. Nationalize. Redistribute. Punish. The 49-year-old economist advised the presidential campaign of John McCain, but his support for the Democrat stimulus package has made him a popular presence in congressional hearings and closed-door meetings. So this guy's basically a loser. Unemployment will peak at 9.5% early next year, Zandi said, who gave a far gloomier economic forecast than the one included in Obama's 2010 budget. Gee, imagine that. It's very likely that all 50 states will be in recession sometime next year, he said, an economic scenario not seen since the Great Depression. They have turned a recession into something else, and they want to turn it into a depression. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, trying to get through to the drones. I don't know why I even bother. These leftists are never satisfied. They're never satisfied with the authority that they have. They're never satisfied with the high tax rates. They're never satisfied with punishing people. There's no end to this. And, of course, they say they do this for us. But they're not doing it for us because we have no say in this. I am starting to believe that, in fact, oh, this will be controversial, that, in fact, if people don't own property of some kind, that they shouldn't be able to vote. It's not going to happen. Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Now, keep in mind, the same leftists who are busy manipulating the vote, the same leftists who back Acorn and fund them with billions of dollars in your taxes, a fraudulent group, the same leftists who really don't like elections anyway, which is why they create these massive bureaucracies and their favorite branch is the judiciary, so they can immunize their decisions from the electorate, the same leftists in California who went to the court to overturn a constitutional amendment passed by the people of California, suddenly they would be offended. Hey, what do you mean by that? I mean, if you don't have a stake in the system, that you shouldn't have a free shot at stealing your neighbor's property. If you crossed into your neighbor's property, whether it's an apartment or a home or a business, and you kicked open the door and you stole something, you'd go to prison. That's a crime. But now in this country, if you vote for a Marxist who, in effect, kicks open your neighbor's door and steals something, and worse, not only steals something, but then checks their light bulbs and their toilets and their register on the heater and tells them what they can do and they can't do, that is progressivism. So a crime in the private sector, when done by the government, is progressive and compassionate. Right? Now, this is just Mark's desire. It ain't going to happen. It seems to me that people who don't own things and get to vote, and I don't mean TVs and microwaves and cars, I mean real property, a home, or have a bank account of some size or whatever, they shouldn't be free to vote to take wealth away from somebody else. And yet that's what happens now, isn't it? They vote for people to become politicians who are stealing your money. Oh, they come up with all kinds of phrases, these Goebbels-like phrases. Hey, we're going to reinvest in infrastructure. We're going to modernize. Well, they're the Svengalis. Whatever language they use, you know what they're doing. They're stealing. Guy kicks down your door. He says, I need your money. I'm going to reinvest in infrastructure. I need to modernize my car. You laugh at the guy, and you have a gun, you take him down. You have a phone, you call 911. But this is progressivism. This is progressivism. When somebody says they want to spread the wealth around or redistribute the wealth, again, in the private sector, that is a crime. If you don't earn it, you don't get to take it and redistribute it. I don't care who the hell you are. Now, if that money is used to pay for legitimate, basic government services, which are allowed under the federal or state constitutions of this country, that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to work. We all know that. That's the social contract. That's how ordered liberty works. But if your purpose is to take it and transform society and rearrange it in a way that you would like to make it, as if not only you're at the Constitutional Convention, but you are the Constitutional Convention, that is a no-no. That is tyranny. That's what we conservatives are fighting against. You people who don't have, you should get off your ass and go get legally and legitimately. You shouldn't get to stay on your ass and tell the rest of us what we do with our lives. I know this is very direct and straightforward to you, but you need it. Because you're not the people who make this country work. You're the losers. We're the people who make this country work despite you. And despite the government taking at all levels 40-45% of our income to subsidize you. Let me be clear. You're the losers. We're the producers. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
All right. How about David, Chicago, Illinois, the great WLS, a Union Democrat. David, I should tell you I'm a brother of yours. Do you know this?
Okay. Well,
hold on now. I want to tell you why.
Okay.
I'm a union member. Now, unlike you, you probably joined voluntarily, right?
It's a must.
Yeah, well, same here. Isn't it funny? I have no choice.
And actually, Mark, the reason I was calling I think I have the answer to this universal health care.
Yes, my friend.
And basically, it's people that can't afford it, or either they're mismanaging their money, and you know, this way they can't afford it. This earned income credit, the people that qualify for this is, I want to say, almost 100% of the people that need health care. Am I correct?
Well, I guess so.
Okay. Well, why not use the earned income credit to help these people that can't afford health care to pay for the health care?
Well, let me tell you what's going on. I'll give you an example. We're not allowed to look into that. You know that. That would be improper. We are going to be subsidizing now people who literally lied on their mortgage applications about their income and got mortgages and are being foreclosed on. You and I are now going to pay so they can stay in that house. We're going to be paying for people who get second mortgages for things like pools or whatever the hell, cars or whatever they're getting. You know how you pull your equity out and do other things. You and I are going to be paying for that too.
I know.
I'm sick and tired of it. We don't get to decide who entered into these deals. We don't get to know their budget situations. We don't get to know how many cars they have, how many LCD TVs they have or any of the rest of it, if they take vacations. I mean, for God's sakes, we're not involved in their budgets, but we have to bail them out. If somebody lied on their mortgage application form, David, I thought that was perjury.
Yes, sir. And,
at the risk of perjury?
Yes, sir. And that's why, I mean, Mark, I mean, as far as my house, when we went to buy a house and, the mortgage guy says, well, how much are you looking, to get a house for? And basically I told him, I said, I don't want a house note more than what I make in 1 week. This way, there's always something that could happen. And with me being a union guy, I mean, Mark, I get laid off. When I do, I have to go struggle. I have to go, find work elsewhere. And I do what I have to do in order to pay my house note, in order to pay my car note, in order to pay my health insurance.
You know why? Because you're a survivor. You're not a loser. And you're not relying on everybody else to take care of you. Now, look, if somebody's really in a pinch and they need a helping hand, I don't have a problem with that. But if some a-hole lies on a mortgage application and then wants me to bail them out, or got a second mortgage to build a pool, or to buy more cars, or whatever the hell they're doing, I say go down, learn your lesson, and build it back up.
Exactly. And I don't believe, Mark, in, all of these people, they look at it as, well, it's a corporation. They got millions of dollars. So what is it worth to them? But I mean, what people don't understand is these people work just as hard as we do, and it's not their fault that they were successful, and they shouldn't be punished. They shouldn't have to pay for everybody else's misfortune or misuse of funds.
Otherwise, they can't survive, and they'll go out of business, and they'll lay people off, and Obama will nationalize them, too.
But you see, now this is another thing, Mark, that I hear a lot, okay, is a lot of people say, me and my wife fall, below the $250,000 mark, okay? So we're not going to be affected today, but like I was explaining to my wife, we could be affected, next week. I mean, they could crunch these numbers and say,
I only have a few seconds. Here's what you tell those people. You tell those people that when he puts that cap and trade in place, your energy bills are going to go up 40%. You tell those people that when they increase the Social Security tax, people are going to get laid off who earn a hell of a lot less than $250,000. You tell those people that when they nationalize health care, there won't be enough people who earn $250,000 and more to pay for it, and they'll be going out without dentists, and they'll have yellow teeth, and they'll be pulling their own teeth out with pliers, and they'll be pulling their own damn lungs out with pliers. Thank you for your call.
Is on. Mark Levin, America's Paul Revere. Calling now at 877-381-3811.
Believe in liberty. Believe in individual responsibility. Stop being a Democrat.
I have seen the light, and I wanted to personally call you, sir, and apologize for the damage that I helped do to our country by the way that I used to vote.
Oh, my God, it's amazing to talk to you.
That's what I like to tell my wife.
Thank me. God bless us. What are you wearing?
Actions speak louder than words. Isn't that right? He can pretend he's FDR and JFK. Moses, I don't care. There are facts on the table, and nobody wants to confront this man on it. What kind of humanity is that?
Love him. Everybody loves him. That's why we call him a great one.
Kevin in Tobyhanna, Pennsylvania, XM Satellite. Yes, Kevin.
Hi, I heard you make a comment before about if you don't own real property, you shouldn't be allowed to vote and elect representatives.
Or if you don't have a, decent bank account, yes.
Well, no, I mean, I have none of those things. I'm not chained down to anything. I have 3 credit cards that carry a balance of exactly 0. No real property. I drive a 20-year-old car. It's all paid for.
How do you vote, sir?
Well, conservative.
You vote conservative?
As conservative as I possibly can find.
Oh, really? Who did you vote for president?
the only concern. Well, I voted for John McCain, but I had to hold my nose to do it.
Well, didn't we all? But my point, sir, is that an awful lot of people who don't have a stake in the financial system in this country are voting to destroy it. You get the point?
Yeah, well, many of them are, but I don't want to be penalized for that.
Well, where do you live? Do you live in a box?
No, actually, I rent a house.
Okay, well, I think we'd allow that. I think we'd let you in.
Okay, well, I hope
okay,
so.
Okay, I think I'll let you in.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it.
So, Kevin, you get the vote, my friend. Congratulations.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So we'll modify the Levin system. Basically, if you vote in a way that agrees with me, you can vote. But if you're voting to steal your neighbor's money, you can't vote. Is that fair? I think it is. That gentleman doesn't vote to take anything from anybody. You drones, that's why you vote. You line up at the polls, two by two, and always voting to steal money from somebody else. And then you have the gall to claim that you're compassionate. Let's see here. Let's go to Mike, New London, Connecticut, the great WXLM. Go.
Hi, Mark. It's an honor to speak to you. You're a great voice for conservatism in America.
Thank you, sir.
Have a quick point on Obama's health care plan. He's trying to put the squeeze on pharmaceutical companies, asking them to increase the rebates on prescriptions, the Medicare, Medicaid prescriptions, from 15% to 21 or 22%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The pharmaceutical industry pipeline is already drying up, so trying to squeeze more out of them is just going to mean more jobs.
Tom, that's the next industry to burn down. You see, the pharmaceutical companies are treated like the oil companies of the healthcare system.
Yeah, and pharmaceutical prescriptions only account for 10% of the total healthcare
That's
costs.
Quite true.
And they keep people out of hospital, or they get them out of hospital.
Tom, you're missing the point. He doesn't give a damn.
Right.
He doesn't care. Well, he's wiping out people's private pension plans, and frankly, public pension plans that are invested in the stock. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't give a damn about the next generation and the generation after that. He just doesn't care. And no facts are going to dissuade him. He is an ideologue. He's a Marxist. Go ahead, my friend.
Yep. So, Mark, I had a question for you.
By the way, while I'm thinking of it, hang in there, Mike. This Wiener Nation, has the man ever had an original thought that doesn't involve food? Guy's got a PhD in food. I'm the most educated guy on the radio. No, you're the biggest dummy on radio, you creep. I'm told I don't listen to this fool. Who the hell can? I'm told he was criticizing me for calling Obama Marxist. Now I'm told the guy uses soft Marxism, I use soft tyranny. Now in some of the markets where I follow him, he thinks he can get away with that. But he's a schmuck. He's a loser. And every damn market I'm against him straight up, I crush this guy. I'm sorry, I had to get that out of my system. He's a false prophet. Go ahead, Mike.
That's okay. I actually had a question for you. Senator Chris Dodd is going to be holding a town hall meeting in New
London. Now, why is he still walking free? Shouldn't he have been arrested and thrown in prison?
Absolutely, and they missed him on Time's list of the 25 people responsible for the crisis we're in.
Oh, of course.
But, so Chris Dodd
is holding... By the way, who reads Time anymore? I certainly don't. Newsweek, Time, I mean, that's old printing press stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Senator Dodd is holding a town hall meeting in Connecticut this Saturday called Prescriptions for Change. And he says that he wants people's input on how to reform the healthcare system, and he's going to bring that back to Obama and the health secretary. So I just wanted to know if I have an opportunity to ask Senator Dodd a question, what you would have me ask him.
I would say, Senator Dodd, with all due respect, how did you qualify to run every industry in this country? I don't mean your power that you've gained through your election. What is it about your education and your experience that has enabled you to run so many things? And don't you take any responsibility at all, sir, for what you did with the housing market and the financial systems? You help cover for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Don't you think you should be a responsible contributor to that problem rather than going on to the next industry and destroying that one? And, of course, I say that with all due respect. In other words, you know how these senators always say, my friend, he's my friend from this, my friend from that? Just keep saying with due respect at the end of your sentence. All right, my friend?
All right.
Good luck. They're gonna throw you out of there. They're going to put you in handcuffs, and off you'll go. But it was good talking to you anyway. All right. Let's see here. Let's go to Paul in New Jersey. Now, Paul, where in New Jersey are you from?
From Lincoln Park.
Can you prove that, sir?
Not on the phone.
Yes, go right ahead.
Sure. Now, this new bailout plan, which is...
Wasn't there a song about Lincoln Park?
There's a band, I believe. This new plan that he's got on bailing people out...
Matter of fact, let's hear some of that song from Lincoln Park. Don't we have that... Oh, I remember I heard it from somewhere. Hold on, Paul. This is a very damn good song. Louder! All right, kill it. Go ahead, Paul. I was just messing with you.
I know. That's okay. If people get their principal...
Do you own any property, Paul? Yes or no?
Yes, I do.
All right, you get the vote. Go ahead.
Thanks. If they get their principal paid down, I got to believe that that's forgiveness of debt, so therefore they're going to be... IRS is going to come back and say, hey, you didn't declare this as income. Then they'll levy their house and charge them taxes and penalties and interest, and when they can't pay it even then the government's going to seize the home and take it from them. And they're slowly going to build this, like in England, you know, living on the dole, where the government owns the home and they decide who's going to live where.
Why don't we just call it all public housing?
Exactly.
Because we own it anyway. As a matter of fact, there was a study done... Not a study. Experience shows that 60% of these homes are going to go into foreclosure anyway because they can't afford them. Even with what the government's doing, they can't afford them. It's like pouring billions and billions of dollars into GM and Chrysler, which cannot sustain themselves because of what the government has done to these companies. There's no free market in the automobile industry. These companies have been abused and abused over and over again by the environmental no-grow flat-earth Marxists. By the bosses that run the UAW, because they have a monopoly, union power, thanks to Franklin Roosevelt, by CAFE standards, and on and on and on, and, these guys in the automobile, they don't know what to produce, when to produce it, the price of fuel fluctuates, the regulations get harder and harder. I mean, in some ways I feel sorry for them, because how the hell do you manage a company like this?
You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
And on to the next industry. Let's go to healthcare. What is it?
I had one other point, sir.
Go right ahead.
Earlier you were talking about the healthcare. I have my father-in-law, who's deceased, who had dual citizenship with England. He had gone there for a couple months, got very ill. He had to wait 4 days for a doctor to come to his house to decide whether or not he should go to the hospital. Then he was in the hospital for 5 days in a giant ward, and ultimately he wasn't getting any health care. He decided, you know what, screw this. I'm coming back to America where I can get some real health care.
Of course.
So, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, everything that's being changed.
And that's one of the reasons why health care in this country is expensive. There are a lot of reasons that are bad reasons, like the trial lawyer suing everybody and the government's influence on the system and so forth. But people expect quality care within time. And that's what you get. That's what most people get in this country. Of course, you have your exceptions. We're a big country with a lot of people. The system's imperfect because people are imperfect. But it is the most perfect system. And when they keep tearing it down, as the leftists do, they tear down every industry we have in this country because only they know better. By the way, the only thing they don't tear down is the government. Oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and no amount of evidence changes their minds. But anyway, when I was in England, I've been to England many times. I actually love the country. It's the politicians there I hate, but I hate politicians in most places anymore. I remember I was at a very nice hotel on the Thames, and my own money, thank you. No, I don't work with the AFL-CIO. And at the time, I didn't even have that much money. We didn't take that many trips, and I just decided, you know, we're going to do this right. It's not a 5-star, 4-star hotel, but a nice one on the Thames. Beautiful one, as a matter of fact. And across the way was a hospital. Well, they had an ATM machine of sorts, and I needed to get some cash. And I went into the hospital. Let me tell you something. That hospital looked like it came out of the 1920s. It was decrepit. It was smelly. People were standing in line. Long line. I don't know what the hell they were standing in line for. When I left, I asked the cab driver. I said to a cab driver standing, I said, why is there such a long line? And he said to me, because in the queue, you have to wait in line until the people are separated based on their needs, prioritized. I said, so a guy could be standing in line with a broken ankle and a pricked finger? He said, yes, and they stand there for hours. They stand there for hours. What the hell's wrong with us? Go ahead.
It's ridiculous. In fact, my father-in-law's mother, who lived there, she's deceased now, her knees were so bad, she wanted to try to get knee replacement because she couldn't walk anymore, and they said no.
Excuse me, that's not a priority. Next. All right, my friend, thank you for your call. Things we take for granted, ladies and gentlemen. The liberty we take for granted, the economic system we take for granted, all these precious things that make life so easy for us, frankly, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them to these demagogues. Why do you think Barack Obama can do all these things? He can't! He's a nincompoop! There, I said it! We'll be right back.
Mark Levin. Love of country becomes outlawed in this country when, well, we'll just let them drag us off to jail. This is the Mark Levin Show. Mark Levin says today what the backbenchers will repeat tomorrow. Call Mark at 877-381-3811.
Becky, Fort Worth, Texas, the great WBAP. Go.
Hi, Mark. It's a really great pleasure for me to be able to speak with you tonight.
Thank you.
I've been in the healthcare industry for over 30 years, and to say that Mr. Obama is clueless is actually being very nice to him. I work with companies and help people get chemotherapy drugs replaced that don't have insurance or don't have the money to pay for it. And I can attest to the fact what the other caller said. Those programs sponsored by the drug companies are drying up, and it's only going to get worse.
They're drying up because the regulations and taxes are going up, right?
Sure. And everybody knows what's coming down the pipeline. And, I mean, there are programs out there that actually help people from these drug companies to help them pay their rent, help them pay co-pays. I mean, they're not these evil creatures that they're made out to be. And it just infuriates me when I hear him.
Are you sure about this? I haven't seen this on 60 Minutes.
I wouldn't watch 60 Minutes if you paid me and tied me to it.
But if it's not on 60 Minutes, then it doesn't happen.
I could say a word,
you
but
know
my
what,
mother
Becky,
would smack me.
Yo, I think you're going to love my book. I don't have any to give you. I don't have any. I think
That's
you're
okay.
going to love my book, Liberty and Tyranny. I really do. It's right. People who know what's going on out there and are disgusted about what's going on, I'm so excited about this. This is the one thing I get to be excited about. I can't wait till this thing is out.
Well, I can't wait either because I'm really looking forward to reading it. And like I said, and I'm again one of those weird people who actually bought a house that they could afford
Yes. And
paid my house payments, paid my car payments, so I don't owe anything, don't have any credit card debt, so I can go pay for this schmuck down the road.
Well,
to,
Becky, I want to remind you now that this is what liberalism has brought us. Liberalism has brought us the destruction of our 401ks and our mutual funds. Liberalism has brought us that you and I have to subsidize people who actually lied on their mortgage applications or got out a second mortgage or second loan to buy something they knew they couldn't afford. You and I are going to subsidize all this and a hell of a lot more by the time this guy's done. This is what they call compassion. This is what they call leveling the playing field, redistributing wealth. It's unjust. It's unjust to take people who behave and act the way they're supposed to, like mature adults, and to subsidize those who don't. We'll be right back. Oh, Jerry, Tulsa, Oklahoma, our great affiliate there, KFAQ. Yes, Joe, Jerry, yes.
Yeah, Mark. And this, too, also used to be KBOO, the home for Paul Harvey.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Anyway, very regardless, good. You do receive entitlements. You are an upper-class lawyer. You receive benefits from your social system.
What social system?
What
are you talking about?
Your social system.
What social system?
Work for a living, Mark.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Not at all. You just sit there and flatulate on the microphone for it. No, I'm serious.
Well, guess what? I have to do a good enough job where people advertise on this show. And people listen. Now, look at what an idiot you are. You contribute to my success because you listen to this program and yet you don't like me.
That's why the fairness doctrine.
All right, lower the guy down. The commies are in full shrill, ladies and gentlemen. The guy listens to this show and hates me and wants to shut me down. And then he's going to describe what I do or what you do is not work. Now, I do three jobs. I get 5 hours sleep. Put this clown up.
Mark, the reason why it is there...
You fat pig who lies on his back all day, demanding that everybody else subsidize them. What do, jerk? All right, get rid of the guy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, nobody gets under the skin of a drone like I do, and it's intentional. I think that guy's head exploded right on the... Can you isolate that for next hour so we can have that? All right, that is a good one. I like that one. Edgar, San Francisco, California, the great KSFO, go.
Dr. Levin, it is a great honor and pleasure to speak to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I'm ex-military, U.S. Army, truck driver now, and I'm actually from New York City, but I'm a conservative, go figure.
We're running out of time, shoot.
Okay, what provisions or protections are there to protect us from going from a soft tyranny to a hard tyranny?
Well, if the Constitution is demolished like so much of it is, and we keep going in this direction, unless we vote these people out, there really isn't anything that I can tell. We'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Now that was one of the drones from the last hour. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kick-Ass Hour 3. I'm Mark Levin. Mark, why do you have to say that? Well, because I like to. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381. Now, this is a really interesting story in a sense. Let me take a few minutes with it. Then we'll get to you callers, because you're more interesting than these reporters writing this stuff. Again from the Politico, President Barack Milhouse Obama doesn't go anywhere without his teleprompter. the textbook-sized panes of glass holding the president's prepared remarks follow him wherever he speaks. Resting on top of a tall, narrow pole, they flank his podium during speeches in the White House's stately parlors. They stood next to him on the floor of a manufacturing plant in Indiana as he pitched his economic stimulus plan. They traveled to the Department of Transportation this week and were in the Capitol Rotunda last month when he paid tribute to Abraham Lincoln in 6-minute prepared remarks. Obama's reliance on the teleprompter is unusual, not only because he's famous for his oratory, but because no other president has used one so consistently and at so many events, large and small. After the teleprompter malfunctioned a few times last summer and Obama delivered some less than soaring speeches, reports surfaced that he was training to wean himself off the device while on vacation in Hawaii, but no luck. His use of the teleprompter makes work tricky for the television crews and photographers trying to capture an image of the president announcing a new cabinet secretary or a housing plan without a pane of glass blocking his face. And it's a startling sight to see such sleek modern technology set against the mahogany doors, bohemian crystal chandeliers in the East Room, or the marble columns of the Grand Fort. That George Bush was so stupid. Oh, he was so stupid. Really? Well, he didn't have to have a teleprompter to announce a cabinet secretary. Shall I go on? Hell yes. It's just something presidents haven't done, said Martha Joint Kumar, if that is her name, a presidential historian who has held court in the White House since December of 1975. It's jarring to the eye, yeah. In a way, it stands in the middle between the audience and the president because his eye's on the teleprompter. Just how much of a crutch the teleprompter has become for Obama was on sharp display during his last Commerce Secretary announcement. That would be his third one. The president spoke from a teleprompter in the ornate Indian Treaty Room for a few minutes. Then Governor Gary Locke stepped to the podium, pulled out a piece of paper for reference. The president's teleprompter also elicited some uncomfortable laughter after he announced Kansas Governor Kathleen Sillius as his choice for Health and Human Services Secretary. Kathy, Obama said, turning the podium over to Sillius. I know it's Sibelius. It's Sillius! Who waited at the microphone for an awkward few seconds while the teleprompters were lowered and the television cameras rolled. Obama's relied on a teleprompter through even the shortest announcement and when repeating the same lines on his economic stimulus plan that he's been saying for months and on and on. Does this guy sound like a real genius to you? I don't think he is a real genius. I said during the campaign that I would like to know how this guy got into Columbia. Based on evidence from his own book, he says he was a very poor student, and at times he didn't even know what was going on. In other words, he was drugged out. And so how did he get into a school like Columbia? I'd like to know, but we won't know. And hence we have the guy that can't speak off the top of his head. And you would think a guy that's so ideologically, you know, fixed in his views. Healthcare, healthcare, well, it doesn't work in Britain. Healthcare, healthcare, well, it doesn't work in Canada. Healthcare! Anyway, that he wouldn't need a teleprompter all the time, but I guess he does. Speaking of stupid, there's the senior senator from Nevada. They call him Harry Reid. AP, the Senate's top Democrat, is proposing special power lines to carry renewable energy like solar and wind power from remote places. Gee, who's proposed that? The guy with all the ads? Federal government would be able to override states and direct where the lines would go and who would pay for them. Ladies and gentlemen, tyranny is a bitch. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada unveiled his proposal today. It's expected to become part of a broader energy bill the Senate plans to take up the coming week. All right, let's take a step back, folks. This is not as it's supposed to be. Politicians are not supposed to run hospitals and doctor's offices and pharmaceutical companies. They're not supposed to run oil rigs, tobacco farms. They're not supposed to run schools. They're not supposed to run all these things, folks. I know it seems commonplace to you. They're not supposed to determine executive pay. They're not supposed to run up massive debts. They're not supposed to be in charge of power lines. So you see, when the firewalls are gone, the gentleman asked, how do we stop from going from a soft tyranny to a hard tyranny, an absolute tyranny? I guess elections, but the problem is that so much of what they put in place is on automatic drive at some point. That's why they build bureaucracies to these things, so you can't get at them. That's why they want activist judges on the court, so you can't get at them either, politically, electorally. And so it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. The system feeds on itself. We're in a deep recession, and they keep talking about depression. They want a depression. And yet the government is experiencing a boom economy at our expense. And yet I see Obama's ratings are still 60%. Obama's doing it. His policies are not high, but he's got high ratings. He needs to be tied to his policies. But it is absolutely stunning to me. Here we have a United States senator who is dumb as a rock. He just is. He's dumb as a rock, Harry Reid. Not I rock, a rock. And he's got legislation for power lines, which really means the 14-year-old staffer in charge of energy in his office has legislation for power lines. The faceless bureaucracy that is what holds up Congress. Since Harry Reid can't actually write or read. Mark, why are you being so rude to him? Oh, this is the jerk who attacked Clarence Thomas. This is the jerk who attacked the military. But I'm supposed to be highbrow and debate this jerk as if we're both college professors. No, I do that with people that I respect, not guys like this who I have no respect for. All right, let's go. Brian. Huntsville, Alabama, the great WVNN. Go.
Yes, sir. How you doing, great one?
Very well, my friend. Thank you.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on who you think benefits from the perpetual weakening of America from all angles, economically, militarily, and on a global scale 50 years down the road. Each individual administration, they know the history. They know Marxism. They know exactly what they're doing. It's cold calculation. Who stands to gain?
The Liberal Democrats gain. Because what you need to understand is we're not talking about Democrats of the long ago. We're talking about a new breed, 1960s retreads who are actually embracing all this stuff. And people need to understand, and I write about this in the book. I keep saying it writes about, well, I do. And I write about it extensively. That the Democrat Party and the government are one and the same today. They need each other. The Democrat Party cannot stand on its own two legs electorally without big government. And big government cannot survive without the Democrats. They're one and the same. They're dependent on each other. And so the political leadership of the Democrat Party is who benefits from the demise of what you and I would consider to be traditional American institutions. Go ahead, sir.
That's basically it. You know, it seems to me that since they know what they're doing, it seems like there's something bigger afoot.
That's pretty big. I mean, to transform the society that we live in into something that we don't want.
Right.
Now, by the way, you're in Huntsville, Alabama.
Correct.
One of my favorite restaurants is Gibson's.
Been
there
what?
Many times. Gibson's.
Gibson's Barbecue. Yes, sir.
Yes.
I know it well.
One of my favorite. I really like the coleslaw there, too.
Great barbecue, great food all the way around. Yes, sir.
It really is, isn't it? Now, there's a couple Gibson's now. Am I right? There's two of them now.
I believe so. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, why am I telling this to you? You should be telling it to me. Now, there used to be on Governor's there a really good donut place. But it's gone out of, you know where Governor's is, right? Cuts right through the heart of the city there.
I do.
All right.
Know it well.
All right, my friend.
Were you speaking of Dunkin' Donuts?
No, they're all, I'm sure they're fine, but no, this was, it doesn't matter. All right, my friend. Thank you. See,
thanks.
The third hour I start thinking food. Wiener Nation starts talking about meatballs from the get-go. I start thinking about meatballs in the third hour. Jamie, Santa Barbara, California, the great KBC. Go.
Hey, Mark. I just wanted to talk to you about healthcare. I work in a radiology department in a hospital.
Well, let me say this about the radiology department. I always tell them when they give me those x-rays to make sure they use that lead thing. You get my drift?
Yeah,
cover that over one. There. Yes, go right ahead.
Anyway, in the last 2 days, I've had two women call me at work, frantic, crying, screaming, scared to death. Both of them were Medi-Cal patients, not getting results from the doctor, calling us because they want us to try, and you know, we don't give results. We take pictures, we give the results to their doctor talks to them. And these women are scared to death. The doctors are not giving them information.
Well, I'm not following this. They're scared to death of what?
Because they're not getting their results.
All right, so what does this have to do with anything?
One of them had a diagnostic mammogram. The doctor wasn't communicating with her.
But what is the point?
Well, the point is they're both on Medi-Cal. They're both on government Medi-Cal.
Yeah.
One of them actually said to me yesterday, she said, maybe if I had insurance like you guys get there at the hospital, maybe somebody would pay attention to me and talk to me and let me know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe so, but, you know, I it's impossible for me to comment on it because I don't really know firsthand the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, Jamie. Thank you for your call. That's enough. I'm getting a headache. Hey, well, we don't know. The doctors, they won't tell us. Well, call your congressman. What do you want from me? I don't know how could I possibly know that situation? The suggestion is because they're on Medi-Cal that the doctors aren't responsive, I guess. But I don't know that to be true. And Jamie sounds like a lovely lady, by the way. I don't know who these other people are. It's just not something I can track down. Let's go to Troy, Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, Sirius Satellite Radio. Yes, Troy.
Dr. Levin, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Barack Obama uses the teleprompter all the time because everything he says is a lie. So for him to keep track of all his lies, he needs to be fed what to say.
You know, that may be a good point. He's got these words that they keep, you know, testing, focus grouping and polling, and so he may not remember that not to say tax increases, instead to say reinvestment. So it's a whole new form of gibberish that he has to memorize. It's a good point. Well said, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's go to Michael, Los Angeles, California, KBC. Go.
Thank you.
Yes.
3 points. One, solution to the problems. We have to get rid of the Federal Reserve.
Next point,
you read
two.
That book, The Creature
All right,
from
yeah,
Jekyll.
Next point, I got the point. Next point, two.
Pardon me?
Next point, two. Quick.
Point, two. We privatize the entire school systems in this country.
Oh, that'll happen. Point three, quick, go.
Out. It'll cost us one.
Point three, go. Ah, that's enough.
Four times education.
That's enough. I have a better one. We hand everyone a golden goose. So the goose, geese, crap, gold, and everybody has that too. How are we going to get rid of the Federal Reserve? Anybody have the foggiest idea how we're going to do that? And privatizing the entire school system, as much as I'd like to privatize a big chunk of it, if not all of it, how are we going to do that? I litigate this. My group litigates this all the time. We're not going to be able to do that. I don't mind you venting, but we have to have a principled agenda built on our solid philosophy and an agenda that over the years, over the decades, that maybe we can accomplish. But we're not going to accomplish that. Sorry. Call Hannity with that. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin. The Mark Levin Show, where the Reagan Coalition meets every day. Call now, 877-381-3811.
Well, how much time, Mr. Producer? Can you tell me louder? I can't hear you. All right, well, we don't have time for any callers. And when we do come back, we have a doctor who was a doctor in Canada for 10 years. I guess he's not in Canada anymore. He's in Jacksonville, Florida. But you know what's sad about all this? The drones don't care. They are on a mission. They are on a mission, and they're not going to be dissuaded. That's the problem with electing these people. We'll be right back.
This is the Conservative Movement's Stimulus Package. Call Mark Levin at 877-381-3811.
Kill him. Kill him.
Thank me for your call. You're a moron. I want you to think about that. You big jerk.
It's amazing.
Hillary Rotten Clinton, Olympia Snowjob, Harry the Body Reid, Jim Mellonhead Webb. I talk, you listen. You talk, I listen. So I get to hit cleanup. I don't jump out of the batter's box. I get ready to hit a grand slam. You big jerk. You, too, will become stalkers like the rest of our beloved audience. Can't say I blame you.
Take my word for it. I am gorgeous.
Just pathetic. All right. Should we take some more calls? I think we will. The news is just too depressing. Nick Henderson, Nevada, the great KXNT, number one. Yes, yeah. Nick.
Good evening, Mark. Two yes, quick sir. Questions for you. In light of the present administration's intent to get national health care in the spotlight and push it down our throats, our illustrious leaders in Washington, what type of health care are they going to receive since they get the best now? That's the first question.
I don't honestly know, but my guess is they'll protect themselves.
I'm sure they will.
There is not a specific proposal. What they're doing now is they have an overall proposal so they can grab the system, fund it, and then turn it over to bureaucrats to build the guts of it. So it's actually more devious than what Hillary Clinton did, where she plopped the entire thousands and thousands of pages of regulations and rules and decisions that she wanted on the table where everybody could pick them apart because they were outrageous. What Obama wants to do, because this is what Tom Daschle told him to do, is do this in a very stealth way. So most of the specifics we'll have no idea about until it's too late.
I'm sure you're 100% right on that. I don't believe anything anybody in this administration says. Second question, in light of our day-to-day panic from the president, how bad our nation's doing, and I realize some people are under pressure, why are we sending $900 million to the Palestinians and Hamas after their constant harassment, not every citizen in that country or state,
okay, I get the point. Why are we sending $900 million to Hamas? Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Because you want to know the truth? Am I allowed to say the truth? Because Obama has a hate-on for Israel. Oh, did he say that? Yes, I did! Obama has a hate-on for Israel. He's appointing a lot of leftist, anti-Israel types. From George Mitchell and this guy Ross to the lesser lights who have a lot of influence. Hillary Clinton, as we call her with all due respect, Hillary Rotten Clinton, her thinus, she's shown her true figure, so to speak. She's shown her fangs. She lied to the fools and the liberal fools in New York for years to get elected as she pandered to the Jewish community. And now, she's over there demanding a Palestinian state. We don't give a damn what you Israelis think. Now, we're going to walk on eggshells with the Iranians and the North Koreans. No, we don't want to upset them. It's a new day. Diplomacy. But for the Israelis, you will do what we say or else. Obama has never supported Israel. He's never liked them. He doesn't like the leadership of Israel. And he'll hate Netanyahu. These little bright spots of liberty are in trouble. Taiwan is going to be in trouble. And these countries, these regimes in the Middle East and elsewhere, where Obama talks, you know, and says that we want to work with you, and he sends these envoys endlessly to talk to them. As I said the other day, what do you think it does to these freedom movements, or not even freedom movements, to independent newspapers and independent political parties and speech in these countries? He kills it. He kills it. I don't know why the leftists are looked upon like some kind of great liberators. They're not. They're incarcerators. They're perpetrators. Let's see here. Let's go to Christy, Macon, Georgia, the great WRPG. Yes, Christy.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Do you think that the cost of health care might have something to do with everybody wanting to sue for pain and suffering and malpractice, and every time a lawyer walks by a doctor, the doctor just breaks out into sweat?
I think that is an important part of it. I think a lot of doctors are having to, they call it defensive medicine, practice defensive medicine, because they're worried about, you know, what they're going to say during a deposition or on the stand in some lawsuit. So yes, and these slip and fall lawyers make a fortune off of hospitals and doctors. I seem to recall a presidential candidate, John Edwards, was one of them.
It's absolutely terrible. Well, Mark, you keep speaking the truth, and you can be politically incorrect all you want.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. God bless you. You know what's interesting? I'm always forthright and honest with you. Always. When I first started this show, and we were going into syndication, and we were taking this show into the South, we got things like, I don't know if this show will work in the South. I mean, this guy, his attitude, the way he talks, we're not used to it down here. I said, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. I speak for all regions of the country, no matter my dialect or the rest of it. Liberty is an important thing, whether it's in the South, North, West, or East. Well, less so in the East, but you get my drift. So people wanted me to tamp it down. Can't you change? I said, no. This show will either fly or sink based on how I do it. This is me. This is my personality. I'm not going to change it and become one of these phony backbenchers. And now notice, we're all over the South. I love the South. And the backbenchers are trying to be me. They're trying to be me. And I could go through the names of them, and they're right now wetting themselves. They're begging me not to. You know who they are. Suddenly they found the word socialism and Marxism. Finally they found the guts to speak the truth. They never said these things before. I remember when I called these leftists Stalinists. Oh my God, we got some program. That's over the line, right? That one right there is over the line. Now it's endless. These hosts never talked about the Constitution the way I do. Suddenly they're all constitutional scholars. They never talked about history the way I did. Now they all run to Wikipedia. Hey, quick, go to Wikipedia. What's a Quisling? What's the fifth column? Yes, well, you don't need to be me. Be yourselves. Well, actually, you do need to be me. If you're yourselves, you'll be flunkies and losers. All right, where are we? Let's go to Justin, Brooklyn, New York, the great WABC. Yes, Justin.
Hello? Hi, Mark.
Yes, how are you?
Oh, hi, it's Justine. I'm sorry.
No, Justine, I apologize, yes.
Okay, I just have two quick questions for you, and before I shoot them off, I just want to thank you for the laughs you give me. I listen to you now and then while I'm cleaning or whatever, and I laugh so hard at the way you're so rude.
You do what? You laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's not really rudeness. I'm disciplining people who obviously weren't brought up properly.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Yes, yes.
So, okay. My first question is, what can the average American do in trying to fight the agendas that Obama's trying to push through, like the Freedom of Choice Act and this new health care plan? Is there any way that the average American can petition against it or do anything to try and fight it?
First of all, there's no such thing as an average American. That's number one. If you look at yourself as an average anything, you'll never succeed. So my view is there are many things that we American citizens can do. And I am very glad to hear you as a 17-year-old who's already doing it to some extent. You've already crossed the line into saying, now what can I do to help save this society for my generation? Isn't that what you're asking me?
Yes.
And there are many things you can do, and you don't have to do them all at once, including engaging in debates with your teachers who are off,
mm-hmm.
you know, off the mark, engaging with fellow students in a respectful way. I mean, I don't mean to be, you don't have to be a rabble-rouser or anything like that, although some of us are, and that's okay, too. But when I was your age, I decided I was going to run for local office, and I plotted and strategized for 18 months. And when I was 19 years old, Justine, I got elected to my local school board, where I was a complete pain in the neck.
Hello?
And so these little things, one at a time, they matter. And you can do things like this, too. You don't have to run for office. You can work in the media. You can even be a teacher. You can work at a university. You can go to Hollywood. You can be a nurse and do wonderful things and contribute to society that way. But whatever you do or wherever you work, make sure you're heard and make sure you advance our principles. That's what's key. If tens of millions of us do that, we'll be in better shape. What's your second question?
Oh, and my second question is, can you hear me?
I can now.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Well, about The day after the inauguration in January, I attended this March for Life in D.C.
Right.
And it was, you know, very peaceful protesting against abortion and all those things that attack life.
Right.
When I went, there was over 200,000 people there, a huge number, marching the day after the inauguration in D.C.
Right.
Now, my question is, when I got home, I Googled it, I watched the news, everything. Not one news station mentioned it. Nobody mentioned it. How could something like that be ignored so greatly?
Because they want to ignore it. Because they're not with us. Because they advance the leftists' agenda. They advance what they want to say, what they feed to the media, and the media regurgitates it. We're not going to get where we are through this media, and that's what I mean. There's a lot of people out there, you want to go into nursing, who aren't sure what they ought to do. They ought to go into the media. Doesn't have to be talk radio. They ought to go into the newspaper business or the TV broadcasting business. Work as assistant directors to an assistant director. Work your way up the ladder and have some influence. If we don't get into these establishments, into these enterprises, then we can't make a difference from the outside. We need to get in them. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right, kid. You sound like a really smart person, and congratulations on that.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, bye. Sorry, that's the way I talk to my son, too. He's 17. All right, we'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Jerry, Raleigh, North Carolina, the great WPTF. Is this our old buddy, Jerry?
Yes, sir, my Yankee friend, Mark.
How are you, bro?
Hey, doing good. I hope you are. And I
yes,
thought
sir.
You were from the South. I thought you were from Huntsville, Alabama.
Well, that's where the in-laws are, you know.
Well, you're doing good down here. That's good enough.
Thank you.
I've noticed that you've had callers call your show who are immigrants and haven't, you know, they weren't born here and Now they live here, and they love this country more than us that are born here. And what this country stands for. Just want to know what your thoughts were on that, and love your show.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, we've had some really great callers who were not born here. Gentleman from Brazil the other night, and some others. Guy from Israel and from some other countries. And they've actually contributed mightily to this program. They've been warning us. Hey, folks, we escaped socialism. And it doesn't work. And that's one of the reasons we're here or our families came here. Don't do this. These are voices of experience, ladies and gentlemen. I think we had a gentleman call whose parents were from Cuba, for instance. These are people who are trying to persuade us, immigrants or children of immigrants, to stick with liberty and stick with our Constitution and stick with this grand society and don't trade it in for these experiments because they are human experiments and they are failures. Let me put it to you this way. If you're an American citizen and you love this country, why would you disassemble it? Why would you disassemble it industry by industry? Why would you disassemble the culture? Why would you disassemble our highest law, the Constitution? Why would you do these things if you love this country? Because to me, if you love this country, you wouldn't do these things. If you have a chip on your shoulder, if you have a hate on, if you hate aspects of this country, that's why you want to disassemble it. But don't tell me you love this country while you're tearing it to pieces. That I'm not going to buy. We'll be right back.
Call him Amos Moses.
George, Jacksonville, Florida, the great W. Bob, B.O.B., go.
Yes, Mark, medical legal disease care is the frame that the Republicans need to use because without medical legal tort reform, defensive medicine reform, there cannot be any cost containment for health care in this country. Practice of medicine here, compared to Canada or socialized countries, is like comparing apples to oranges. And the reason is that the legal premium that is built in to the practice of medicine along with defensive medicine makes it cost prohibitive, and without addressing that with all the lawyers in Washington and the White House and Congress, Dr. Tom Coburn's plan is the best plan for this country. His plan would save this nation more than $180 billion in health care costs by addressing the real problem of defensive medicine costs.
And the problem is this president and the Democrat Party is owned and paid for by the trial lawyers, among others.
Well, this is the major obstacle. And so people need to understand that when they buy a health care premium, that they're actually purchasing a premium that's going to pay both the doctors, the lawyers, and all of the legal escalation of legal costs.
I got it, and I agree with you. All right, my friend, thank you. There's some conservatives out there, not many, who would say, well, tort reform, you know, that's government intervention. No, ladies and gentlemen, the whole civil structure is government intervention in terms of litigation. The rules of evidence, all the rules for civil criminal litigation, some of them have grown up over time through common law, but they're codified by a state legislature and a governor who signs it. So it can be changed, and it ought to be changed. And these lawyers, in many respects, are parasites. Oh, of course you need lawyers. I get that. I am a lawyer. I don't practice slip-and-fall law, I can tell you that. But that said, we're not talking about that. We're talking about guys, if this were a truly, you know, if these people were really worried about the system and their patients, I don't think they'd be taking 35-45%. Why don't they take 5 or 10%? Why doesn't Obama talk about that? Nah, he's not going to. They contribute to his campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, we salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, and all of you. And I'll be right back here tomorrow where you can stalk me. This is Mark Levin.
Like what you'll hear so far?
So far.
Read out more about Mark Levin by going to his website.